Mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The inescapable fact of life is that it ends. From a very young age, we begin to experience death as we cry for our mothers when we've been separated from them, whether we're put down for a minute or put to bed for the night. Life is not the way we want it. As we continue growing up, we watch things end, from school grades to friendships to TV shows. Increasingly, as the years go on, it becomes clear that eventually we will be next in line. We will leave behind this world as our bodies return to the dust. We will end. We know why death comes to everything and everyone. Sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin. And so death spread to all men because all sinned. We have all been born into sin and have continued to live in sin. Mankind has been separated from God, the source of life that never ends. Even as he welcomes us back in Jesus, we continually look the other way. We don't want to receive. We want to take. The world offers us different sources of life. Money, power, sport, knowledge, fame, charity, you name it. In all of these, man can climb the ladder if he works hard enough, always striving to be on top. We can achieve the life we desire without God. But death is the great equalizer. Rich men die, poor men die. Powerful men die, weak men die. Nothing man takes for himself goes with him. His lasting legacy serves no purpose for himself. Each one of us here today are sinners and are headed toward death. We have separated ourselves from the God of life as we seek to live our own way. We are wrapped up in the climb to be better than others and to judge ourselves according to our accomplishments. We deserve nothing but punishment. But the God of life refuses to abandon us to death. The one who created us in his image cannot stay separated from us. The God of life took on human flesh to destroy death and to wipe away sins. He too cried as a baby when he experienced death separated from his mother. Years later, he again would cry out as he would experience death separated from his father. In today's gospel, Jesus shows us what little power death has in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has arrived in the king. As Jesus has shown the crowds that he preaches with authority, casts out demons, heals lepers, and shortly before this very moment proved that he could even control the raging sea. This man, Jesus, is God himself, present in the world to bring everyone into the kingdom of God. But his kingdom is not characterized by money, power, knowledge, or fame, as the disciples and the crowds expect it. Jesus' kingdom is characterized by life. Mark the Evangelist crafts the narrative by starting with the problem. Jairus, an official of the synagogue, has a daughter at the very point of death. He is afraid that he will be separated from his daughter, and so he pleads to Jesus. Come and lay your hands on her, so that she may be made well and live. The Jews had come to recognize that Jesus could heal the sick. Many even considered him to be a prophet. The time had come for them to learn that Jesus could do much more than heal. Jesus was far greater than any prophet. But as Jesus goes on his way to Jairus' daughter, he is sidetracked by another problem. And there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years, who had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. This woman, likely a wealthy widow at one time, had found no solution for 12 years. Human help only made the problem worse. Her money had proven worthless. Because of her discharge of blood, she is ritually unclean. She is separated from God and separated from all those around her. This woman is in a constant state of death. Only the God of life can save her now. As a last-ditch effort, she fights through the crowd and reaches out to touch Jesus' garment. And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. This woman grasps for life from the man who can do miracles. She touches the clothes of God and is healed. Unclean touch cannot make Jesus unclean. He cannot be stained. Instead, Jesus makes the unclean clean. He takes away the stench of death that haunts this woman. He bridges all separation. God delights in her. She is one of his own. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." No longer just a woman, but now a daughter, Jesus' words to her declare that something greater has happened than a simple healing. She has been brought back from death, saved from her unclean state, and she now lives in peace. What saved her? Her last-ditch effort. Lost and helpless, she clung to the garments of the man named Jesus. This king brought the kingdom of God to her, and she believed. But the drama continues on. There's no peace in Jairus' household. As the news arrives, his daughter is already dead. Jairus' last-ditch effort has failed. Nothing more can be done. Stop bothering the teacher. But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." Death is not the end in the kingdom of God. Death is not a threat to the king. He welcomes Jairus to be like the widow woman. Believe and cling to the garments of the God of life. He tells the crowd that the child's not dead, but sleeping. And they mock him. These professional mourners, hired out regularly to make a show after every death, know the seriousness of death. They are around death all the time. No one can escape it. No one comes back from it. Jesus is a fool to think otherwise. But he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha kumi," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age. And they were immediately overcome with amazement. Jesus is not a simple healer, showing off his special connection to God by performing miracles. Jesus is the God of life himself. His whole purpose is to bring life to humanity. He heals and makes clean the woman ritually dead, calling her daughter and restoring her to the Father. He raises a child physically dead, restoring another daughter to her father. Jesus overcomes all separation. These miracles are a foreshadowing of what is to come. The king who battles against Satan and his kingdom will ride into Jerusalem in victory. He will enter the holy city to take his throne, long awaited. But the Jews will refuse their king. They will reject the God of life like Adam long ago. They will choose death for themselves as they choose death for the man wearing a robe and a crown of thorns. And while mankind chooses to remain in the state of death, Jesus is the one who suffers death. He chokes upon the cross, struggling to breathe. He pours out blood like a sacrifice. He who restores sons and daughters to the Father is forsaken by his Father. He cries out, grasping for the God of life, but there are no garments for him to cling to. He is abandoned to death, breathing his last. He is buried, left to decay as the defeated king whose kingdom was a figment of imagination. But Satan's kingdom was mistaken. Humanity had chosen wrong. The God of life in the flesh can certainly die, but he cannot stay dead. The one who makes death like sleep for others makes death like sleep for himself. Resting in the tomb for a day, Jesus awakes from death to live in the body again. He appears to Mary Magdalene, his apostles, and many of his followers. Death was not the end of Jesus. Neither will it be ours. This is the message of Easter. Yes, death still threatens us to this very day. We are all headed towards an ending of all that we currently know. We have very little understanding of what life after death is like. But Jesus announces to us that he has made death like sleep. It is temporary and harmless and almost in a way necessary, as we must be made to live anew. When Jesus tells us to follow him, he doesn't mean simply listen to what he says and agree with him. Jesus calls us to live a life headed toward death, one of persecution by those who should love us and welcome us, one of suffering and pain, but a life that never separates us from him. At baptism, we become sons, restored to the Father by the Son. At church, we hear and learn the words of the Father given to us through the Son. At Holy Communion, we are fed by our Father the very body and blood of the Son. So as we live, we begin to take on the function of the Son, showing the Father to the world and inviting the world to grasp for the God of life. As we die, we are separated from sin, and one day we will awaken again unto life everlasting. Daily we remember that we are like the widow woman and the young girl. We are dead in our sins. We are hopeless. We try over and over again to find a solution, but there is none. Our striving only makes things worse. Death can only be delayed. How then can we be saved? Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. Do not fear, only believe. Everything we do here teaches us that the King has come and is welcoming us into his kingdom. All we can do is make a last-ditch effort to grasp his garments. All we can do is plead with him. And that is exactly what we do. We confess that we have sinned and done wrong. We have separated ourselves from the God of life and only deserve death. We cry out, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Jesus does have mercy upon us. As we clutch his garments, we are restored. For he has all the power and has done all the work. He has faced death so that we may have life. He has gone through turmoil so that we may have peace. we still can't escape death. Time will eventually separate each and every one of us. But we know now that death is not the end. The God of life has placed his name upon us and calls us his children. We cannot stay dead, but only sleep like a child. As we follow Jesus into death, we will also follow him into life. He speaks, "Little children, I say to you, arise." Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.